As 2024 ends, where is your hope rooted for 2025? How will you weather the political storms that may come our way as both a country and as a state? I'm your host, Tess Abraham, and I want to give you some encouragement on where true hope can be found on this week's episode of the California Conversation. Welcome back to the show and happy New Year's Eve. Can you believe it's the very last day of 2024? I hope that you all had a wonderful Christmas and that you have an even better new year. We usually travel out of state for Christmas, but this year it worked out that it was just me and my husband at home together, and it was a really nice time to rest, take things a little slower, spend some time reading, watching Christmas movies, and doing so much cooking and baking. As we move out of 2024, I want to take a moment to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you who listens to this podcast. This was an incredible year because it's the year that I stepped into this new adventure of trying to help shape California politics. I can't wait to see where this goes in 2025, and I have so many plans of how to better serve you with this show. With that being said, I want to hear from all of you. If you watch the show on YouTube, you can head over to the community section of my channel, and you'll see a post there asking for your feedback. You can also reach out to me through the contact form on my website, which I will link below in the show notes. If there are any topics that you're interested in as it relates to politics or government here in California, I want to know what those are. Or if you have any ideas of media or segments that you'd like to see from me in 2025, drop those ideas there as well. Ultimately, I want this to be a resource for you, to answer your questions, to keep you informed, to do research on your behalf, and to shape how you navigate life in our state as someone with conservative values. So please let me know how I can do a better job at accomplishing that in the new year. Thank you again so much for being here. Let's spread the word in 2025 and grow this community. With the new year also comes new opportunities, and to that end, we have our very first brand partnership. I'm extra excited about sharing this with you because it's a brand that I regularly used before they reached out to me, so I truly believe in it. Something you'll learn about me is that I'm pretty crunchy, meaning I try my best to live a non-toxic lifestyle. If you share that lifestyle, then you know how hard it can be to find non-toxic products for your everyday life that actually work, especially when it comes to your deodorant. Deodorants often contain aluminum, but even ones that boldly state that they're aluminum-free contain parabens and endocrine disruptors, which are things we do not want to take with us into 2025. Curie deodorant is formulated to be so clean that it beats the clean standards set in the EU, which are much higher than in the US, while still fighting body odor and being safe for sensitive skin. I was admittedly skeptical when I first heard about Curie. After all, I'd heard too many horror stories about trying natural deodorants that were crumbly, ineffective, or smelled worse than body odor. But to my pleasant surprise, when I tried Curie, I found that it worked way better than the name brand deodorant that I was using. They also have far more than just deodorant, with body wash, hair oil, soap bars, and hair freshener, all clean and crunchy approved. You can use my discount link or code, which are both in the show notes, to get 10% off your purchase. I personally love the warm vanilla scented deodorant, as well as the moisturizing hair oil. Use the code CURIETESSABRAHAM at checkout. That's C-U-R-I-E, Tess Abraham, or shop through the link below to get that discount and support the show. With it being New Year's Eve, I want to switch things up from what we normally talk about on the show. It's important to look back on what 2024 brought for our country and our state, as well as to recalibrate our hearts, minds, and attitudes for what's coming in 2025. Obviously, the most notable event in 2024 was the presidential election, with Donald Trump winning back the presidency and the Republican Party taking back the majority in both the Senate and the House of Representatives. But not only did we see those victories, we've also seen a massive shift in the political landscape as Elon Musk, Joe Rogan, and other unexpected prominent figures supported Trump and have even moved to work with him. We've seen the announcement of the Department of Government Efficiency to be led by Musk and to be led by Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. Outside of the presidential races and election, our country still experienced significant inflation and economic challenges, as well as faced major foreign policy challenges with the ongoing conflict in the Middle East and in Ukraine. As for California, Republicans flipped 3 Democrat seats in the legislature, 1 Senate seat and 2 Assembly seats, as nearly every county voted more conservative than in the 2020 election. We also saw the public opinion shift on major issues like crime and minimum wage, with the passage of Prop 36 to bring back felony charges for certain crimes and the rejection of Prop 32 to raise the minimum wage. These were such exciting wins. I personally was super encouraged and a little surprised at these outcomes. However, our state is still one of the most liberal in the country, and so we have also talked about legislation that passed this year, including banning voter ID requirements across the state, prohibiting parental notification ordinances from being passed within school districts, and increasing taxes on the purchase of guns and ammunition in California. That's just a drop in the ocean when it comes to the liberal policies enacted in our state, best exemplified in Governor Newsom's commitment to, quote, safeguard California's laws and values from the incoming Trump administration, including protecting our status as a sanctuary state for illegal immigrants, our sanctuary laws for transgender youth, and legislation making us a safe haven for abortion up to and past birth. So it's a mixed bag for California when it comes to the political strides that we've made this year. In 2025, conservatives can certainly look ahead to President Trump taking office in January, as well as the benefits and positive movement that will come from his work with a Republican legislative branch. After all, Trump has promised major reforms in stronger immigration and border security, lower taxes, to drill baby drill, also known as domestic oil production, and a reformed healthcare plan. Currently, a Republican administration offers hope for advocating for parental rights, free speech, and restoring religious freedom. From a foreign policy perspective, President Trump maintained a peaceful presence in the world during his first term as president and has promised to restore that peace by supporting Israel and ending the war in Ukraine. While living in California may mean that not all the privileges of a Republican administration are ours for the taking, given the high taxes and cost of living here, as well as legislation that fights against the federal tone on key issues I mentioned earlier, we can certainly all benefit from safer foreign policy, stronger immigration enforcement across the country, and lower federal taxes. It would seem that conservatives have a pretty positive outlook for the new year, right? But even with the winds of change coming to the White House in 20 days, I want to challenge us to remember as we walk into the new year that our hope can never be found in a politician or in politics itself. I think it's easy, at least for myself, to look around when political tides start to turn in a direction that I favor and think that everything will be restored. I have to remind myself that whether the culture or the party in power is with you or against you doesn't change the reality that politics is a bad place to put your hope. Our love for our country, our resolve for change, and our ultimate hope has to be rooted in something deeper than just the political direction that America moves every 4 years. What prompts me to say that? Well, for one thing, we have countless examples of political failures throughout American history. Let's go through a few of these just to remember how much political power can corrupt people. Most notably, of course, is the Watergate scandal during President Nixon's presidency. Just as a refresher, in case you've forgotten the details, the Nixon administration was caught spying on the president's political opponents during the 1972 presidential election. Five men connected to his campaign broke into the DNC's headquarters at the Watergate complex to steal documents and wiretap phones. White House tapes caught Nixon's express knowledge and involvement in the scandal on recording, leading to his inevitable resignment from office. Nixon failed the American people by lying about Watergate. He not only engaged in illegal behavior, but the people could no longer trust his word either. Nixon himself put it this way, quote, "I let down my friends. I let down my country. I let down our system of government, the dreams of all those young people that ought to get into government, but they think that it's all too corrupt. I let the American people down, and I have to carry that burden with me for the rest of my life." While Nixon is the only president to have ever resigned, he isn't the only politician to have failed the American people. Corruption of politicians isn't a new phenomenon. Take the Teapot Dome scandal, for instance, which occurred 100 years ago during the 1920s. The Secretary of the Interior during the Harding administration, Albert Fall, secretly leased the rights to drill for oil on federal lands to two oil companies in exchange for bribes. He made $400,000 total, which is equivalent to millions of dollars today, off the hidden leases, and he was the first cabinet member ever to be convicted of a felony. Even outside of these notorious and noisy scandals that are well known among the pages of history, just in the past 4 years, we have watched our politicians fail us time and time again. There are many policy decisions that I could list, but there are none so spectacular as President Biden's withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan. During President Trump's first term, he'd reduced American troops from 12,000 servicemen and women to just 2,500 through an agreement conditioned on Taliban efforts to implement counterterrorism strategies. The small amount of U.S. military remaining in Afghanistan were there to ensure that the Taliban continued to comply with the deal that he struck. President Biden reversed the conditions that had been set under Trump and announced a rushed and public withdrawal of all our service members from the country. 13 U.S. service members were killed as a result. Hundreds of our citizens were left in country without a way to escape, and videos circulated of men literally falling out of the sky as they clung to planes that were leaving Afghanistan as their only potential escape. The Afghan military fell to Taliban control, and translators who had worked with the United States begged the Biden administration for help as they were the prime targets for Taliban violence. But their pleas were met with silence and with no gratitude or duty owed to them for their service to our country. Maybe the worst outcome of all since the withdrawal has been the treatment of women and girls under Taliban rule, directly a result of Joe Biden's failed leadership. Women have been banned from education beyond the sixth grade, from showing any of their bare face in public, requiring them to wear full burqas that even cover their eyes, banned from speaking outside of their homes, and banned from receiving medical training, while also making it illegal for women to receive medical care from men. It's safe to say this complete handing over of the Afghanistan government to the Taliban, who subsequently have worked to dehumanize and erase women, will go down in history as one of the most disastrous failures by a politician of all time. Beyond politicians failing the public and disappointing the will of the people, many have also shown us time and time again case studies not just on political failures, but of personal failures as well. Take President Kennedy, for example. JFK is known as a beloved president due to his charisma and charm and the fact that he was the youngest president to hold office. But even as he encouraged his fellow Americans to take action, to fight for equal rights, and pushed for the United States to do the unthinkable by landing a man on the moon, he personally worked long hours and faced rumors of frequent infidelity, both of which strained his marriage and family life. Perhaps most famous was his alleged affair with actress Marilyn Monroe. JFK is far from the only politician to have failed in family life. A similar yet more extreme story is that of John Edwards, a former U.S. senator and presidential candidate who engaged in an extramarital affair while his wife was battling a cancer diagnosis. He was even indicted for using campaign funds to hide his mistress while he was campaigning as a Democratic presidential candidate in 2008. His mistress would go on to have a child that he admitted was his daughter. The scandal ruined not only his political career, but any semblance of his family life. Even outside of U.S. politics, politicians in other countries have disappointed and abandoned their families as well, and in more ways than just infidelity. Take Margaret Thatcher, British Prime Minister from 1979 to 1990, known as the Iron Lady because of her refusal to compromise in politics. Her children wrote that she was often preoccupied with work and that they never felt close to their mother. While they admired her hard work, she was never off duty, which affected their family life. Thatcher herself admitted in 1995 that, quote, "If I had my time again, I wouldn't go into politics because of what it does to your family." The point of recalling all these stories, scandals, and personal failures is to prove that politics and politicians are a poor place to put your hope, regardless of what you believe they will do for your country. What exactly should we be focused on as we enter 2025? I want to encourage you that no matter what the new year brings, whether our politicians do what they've promised, which some of them might, or if they fail and disappoint us, which many of them will, that your purpose remains steadfast. That what you do, the outlook you have, the influence that you can make is not limited by a political party or a person. You can still choose, no matter what, to have hope and joy. You can still work to make change around you. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Change starts small and it starts within communities. It's why local and state politics are so important and can't be left out of the conversation. There are counties and school boards and districts in California that disagree with the state government and are fighting back. There are states across our country that disagree with the federal government and are working to effect change. That all starts with people, with families, with churches, and with communities that know what they believe and resolve to live out their values despite what the government has to say about it. It starts with women raising their children day in and day out, doing the thankless work of changing diapers, cooking endless meals, wiping up messes, and teaching their children values that outlast politics and the American experiment altogether. It starts with men taking on the responsibility to provide for their families, being unashamed to speak out for what they believe, loving their wives and kids, and serving in their churches. It starts with young people taking the initiative to think seriously about the problems facing our culture and making the choice to get involved for the greater good, even at personal cost. But ultimately, finding purpose in family and community isn't enough. That purpose must come from somewhere, from hope that is rooted in something. True hope can only ever be found in the truth of the gospel, the freedom offered in laying down your life to serve the God who created you, loves you, and calls you into relationship with Him. It's only when you know the character of God, rest in the redemption that He offers, trust in His providence, and submit your life to His will that you can face whatever the political headwinds bring your way. You can only wake up in the morning with joy and determination if you know that you serve a God who is far above princes, rulers, presidents, and politicians. Even conservative values are not enough to offer you true hope, lasting hope that restores your soul and reconciles you to God. That is because true hope cannot only extend to this life. It must extend past this life into death. Anything that offers you hope in this life but leaves you on your own in death is worthless. Conservatism may be good insofar as creating an orderly society, but it is rooted and anchored in Christian values, without which it would be utterly lost and aimless. Conservatism only offers hope for this life, in this country, where it's allowed to thrive. There is only one person, one reality that can offer you hope in this life wherever you live and whoever reigns, and ultimately hope in death. It's outlined for us in the very first question of the Heidelberg Catechism of 1563. Quote, what is your only comfort in life and in death? Answer, that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Without Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you are hopeless. You are condemned in your sin. You can never work your way back to a relationship with God or be worthy to be in the presence of His holiness. Your efforts in this life will be temporary at best and meaningless at worst. Only knowing Christ as your Savior, only trusting in His goodness and grace to set you free from yourself, only believing in His providential care to work all things together for your good will give you hope that you need to continue year after year, to live a faithful life, and to die a rewarding death. Christians can engage in politics in 2025 and beyond because they are rooted and built up in their relationship with God, who will never shift or change like a politician, who will keep all of His promises, who is the essence of goodness and truth, who will never fail us, and who has promised to one day restore all things to justice and everlasting peace. It may be a new year, but He is the same God, and He offers us the same hope, a better hope than could ever be offered by a president or administration. This is the hope that I want to take into 2025 with us, as a country, as a state, and as a community. Because when we trust in God as our source of truth and as our Lord, then we find the strength that we need every day to wake up and read the headlines, to engage in the fight without getting tired, to push our culture and our government to change for the better, and to align the world around us with the heart of God, a heart of justice, compassion, and real love. Without that, you will burn out. You will be disappointed. You will want to give up. But with that hope, you will accomplish change that has eternal purpose and significance. You will endure no matter who our governor or our president is. And most importantly, you will rest at night knowing that our God wins. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you're feeling encouraged and refreshed as you head into the new year this week. If you're enjoying this podcast, please subscribe today and pass it along to your friends, family, and fellow Californians. You can follow me on social media at It's Tess Abraham, and you can find out more about the podcast at thecaliforniaconversation.com. I'll see you back here next week, where we'll be diving into California politics once again on another episode of The California Conversation.